Baruch Hashem, we're starting the Sefer Ayeka, and our dear Chavir Chamid was very involved in sponsoring the Sefer and putting it out. This is a Mashiach Sefer, Mamash Mashiach Sefer. And I can't put into words how excited I am to learn it together with the Chavir. I mean, those who were zeichet to be with us 2 weeks, two Shabbos ago, we were together, and we had the schus of hearing Torah from Rav Sasson's mouth to be there to go with him the whole Shabbos. We're talking about something that a person and a world that's filled with light, that's filled with Shechina, that's filled with Simcha, that's filled with the Torah of Rav Kook that we've been zeich to learn all of these years. And it was hard for me to make the decision, and I couldn't think of it as Chalila leaving Rav Kook's Sfarim to learn something else. But as I explained 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that we're not leaving Rav Kook at all. Every single word in this sefer is all under the hashgacha of Rav Kook, and it's all a perush of the little bit that we did from Rav Kook's outpouring of the soul, of his own life, and what his tachlis was, as he expressed it in this world. And we're going to, throughout this sefer, we're going to be learning different pieces from Rav Kook. The sefer really is a perush on Aris HaKadosh, on one particular piece in Aris HaKadosh that we'll get to. But the entire Sefer is a parish of Rav Kook, and it's going to be filled. The Sefer is filled with explanations and discussions of the Torahs of that Tzaddik, of that great Tzaddik Rav Kook. So we're not Chas v'Chalil, we're not leaving Rav Kook. We're entering more deeply into his Torah through this wonderful tzaddik who I feel privileged to have as a personal friend, and some of us have gotten to know him a little bit. The Mitzvah Shem, hope to bring him here we should really go there, but in the meantime, to bring him here to be with us also for some Shabbos. Mitzvah Shem, we're going to work on that. So let's begin with the Maimer Movo. There's a Maimer at the introduction that Moshe David sent out, so for those that don't have the Sefer. Hashayla hakadminus, asher shol Hashem lekim es adam. The sefer is called Ayeka. Where are you? And everybody knows that that's the question at the beginning of time. It's the question that Hashem first asked of Adam. It's the first question there ever was, and it's the question that remains with each and every one of us, and must be in our consciousness every moment of our lives. And this entire sefer is to explain this question of Hashem. Ayeka. Hashem asked Adam HaRishon, Ayeka, where are you? Hi ha-she'ela ha-amuka v'ametaltalas. This is the deepest question. It's a question ha-mahadhedes ba'imek nefesh Adam that should echo deep in the soul of each person, not just Adam HaRishon. Hashem asked Adam HaRishon, where are you? He's asking each and every one of us every month of our lives. Me'oz v'ad hayom. From that day, at the beginning of time, from that first Erev Shabbos, until now. She'ela zu einena she'ela fizis. The question was not a question of where is Adam located. Was not a question regarding his physical presence, where he was. Heicha nimtza Adam? Where are you? Where are you to be found? So I can pick you up and this is not a question from Uber or from Get. Where are you? Ela she'elas oimek. It's the she'elas omek, it's the deepest question. Heichan hu nimtza b'chayev. Where are you in your life? B'mach shavoysov. Where are you? Where are your thoughts? What do you think about? B'mamake nafsho. And where are you in that b'mamake nafsho, in the depths of your nefesh, where are you? This question brings to the surface the need to clarify in a deep way the identity, the true identity of a person. To be able to come to understand to live with one's true identity. Hanochash, the snake, Hitzig bifnei ha'odam olamas kisumim. The snake presented before Adam all kinds of enchanting, exciting possibilities. Olamas kisumim, she'ifais v'chalaimais. The snake suggested to Adam that if you listen to me, all kinds of she'ifais, longings and chalomis and dreams that you're going to experience and recognize and have in your life. Upita es ha'adam achrav, and man was misled, was seduced by the snake. Ach be'emes, olamas elu zarim hem libucha shel adam. But in truth, all of those olamas, all of those exciting worlds that the Nachash offered Adam were zorim him l'rucha, were alien to his true spirit, were not really him. Nochrim la'atzmiusa, strange and foreign to his essence. Lo toivu u'brocha yavo l'adam im yinahe achre kismei shav elo. No good and no blessing will come to Adam if he's led after the kismei shav elu. The ksama means magic, right? Kesa, but this enticement, this seems to be so exciting. La oneg v'le osher. Ultimately, no oneg, no pleasure, and no osher, feeling of fulfillment. Ela shibud v'reikonis. To listen to the snake means a life of shibud and reikonis. Everything is packaged in a good way, sounds great, looks exciting, very convincing that this is going to give you all the happiness and all of the pleasure that you could possibly have in this world. And in the end, none of that is what you get. What you get is shibud, enslavement, and reikonis, and emptiness. Im ha'odam haye yitzur cholov. If a human being was empty, was just a yitzur chol, was a creature that is empty, that has no depth or essence or substance. Choses zehus ve'atzmius. He would be missing any atzmius, identity, atzmius. Ula yuchal haye li'avei zehusay me'olam asachem. Then maybe he would be able to draw to somehow find himself in other worlds. Achadam yakar hu ma'od. But the truth is that man is yakar hu ma'od. A human being is not an ant, is not a bug. Yakar hu ma'od. He's very, very precious, very valuable. Yahaloim shel kodesh, a holy diamond. Sheish bekirba atzmius adira, and man contains, each person contains within him atzmius, an essence adira that is magnificent. Mileya toichen chaim, filled with life. Oisher ein soifi, infinite, endless wealth. Oitzres melochim, treasures of kings. Skulas kedushas elokim, the treasure of Kedushas Elohim, of the holiness of God himself, is what's inside of man. Soruchu ha'odam l'stakel pnima. Therefore, the question of Ayek, of course, was to turn a person's head around, instead of looking outside, to look inward, to look inside himself, to find that oisha, to find that skulas Kedushas Elohim, to find happiness and meaning and depth and purpose within himself, instead of looking for it outside of himself. is what we're talking about in this year, the Tuesday night shiur. The Torah that we learned a few weeks ago from Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap of Cook's Talmud about the chait of the Eitz Hadas is that man is looking for something great, but he's looking for great things in things that are small, things that are not really great. He's looking for greatness, but he's looking for greatness in small things, in chitzonius. The person has to look inside. To the core, to the essence of his life. And to actualize, and to bring forth, to bring out in his life that or, that light that's within him. Halicha sa'adam achar hanachash. He's explaining this is all an explanation of Rav Kook's Torah and Ayis HaKadosh. That man followed the snake. He listened to the snake. He is kachashus l'chol ha'or shabo, was a rejection of all the light that's within himself. He listened to a voice outside of himself instead of to the voice inside of himself. And that was the beginning of man's downfall. And that's when Hashem asked him, where are you? Where are you? Are you outside or are you inside? Where are you? His amrus ubegida ba'atzmiuso. It was an act of treason. Listening to the snake, that chait of the Eitz Hadas, was a betrayal ba'atzmius of who he is. B'chayim ha'amitim ha'nechayim lo, to that true life that has all been prepared for him, that Hashem Yisbarach has prepared for him. Next page. Zeu ha'chayt ha'kadmoni. This is the first sin. This is that chayt of Gan Eden. She'nitek ha'sa'odah mi'chayiv ha'atzmium, that man was torn away from his true life. Just as the fruit was torn from the tree, so man was torn. He took himself away. Mechayev ha'atzmiyim. Mechayev ha'atzmiyim. And as a result of that, ha'itziya amelchutz l'gan Eden, he was removed from that place, which is truly his place, which is Gan Eden. Mokam ha'chaim ha'mitim. And we're still not there, we're not in Yerushalayim. And even those who are in Yerushalayim are not necessarily in Yerushalayim. They're just, that's their physical location. Again, that could be fine on Waze. And the taxi driver can bring you to that place. But Gan Eden, that place that Adam HaRishon left, that he was removed from, we haven't returned to. The bitter consequence of men selling himself and his essence to the world of the snake, that exchange. That he listened to the snake. He ovdan ha'atzmius va'azeyus ha'pnimus. That brought to a loss of man's essential self and his identity, his inner identity of who he really is. Musagei ha'chayim shel ha'nochash. Instead of living his true life and being faithful to himself, musagei ha'chayim shel ha'nochash, the snake's concepts of life, the snake's definition of life, chalchul la'imek alev, crept deep into man's heart, like a snake that slithers, that creeps around. The snake's idea of life crept deep into man, la'imek alev, v'adas, into the depths of man's heart and his mind. shel Adam, El Zar, Chadar Al Gufo, a foreign god, infiltrated, penetrated into man's, entered into man's body. An El Zar, La Yebacha El Zar, a foreign god, foreign meaning foreign to who he really is, crept into man. Acha Koilo HaPnimi HaAmiti Kimat Vinodam, until man's inner true voice was almost completely silenced, almost completely silenced. Bekach Shochach Es Atzmo, and with this man forgot himself. Ad Shelo Yoda Lanos Tshuva Brur, to the point that he could not answer in a clear way, in an honest and clear way, Hashem's question. Es Hashela Elokis, Ayeka. Hashem's question, Ayeka. The question Hashem is still asking each one of us. And these are the words in Aris HaKadosh. It's part of that Torah that we've learned over the years a number of times. In the third Chelik. Chata Adam HaRishon, Chet Adam HaRishon, Chata, he sinned, or the Chet of Adam HaRishon, Shendisnakir La'atzmiyusa. He became detached. He became a stranger to himself. Nisnakir La'atzmiyusa. Shepona La'daitel Shonochash, instead of turning inward to himself and to the Elokus that's within him, he turned outward to the das of the nachash, to the thoughts of the snake. Va'ovad es atzmo, and in doing so, he lost himself. Lo yoda lahoshiv tshuva brura l'she'elas ayaka. So Rav Kook says, he couldn't answer in a clear and honest way Hashem's question, ayaka. Mimnei she lo yoda es nasha. Because he didn't have an answer. Because he didn't know himself. He didn't know what had become of himself. He didn't know where he was or who he was. Because the true ani, anius, I mean, there's no word in Rav Kook took the word ani, that true anius, I, nevda mimenu, was lost. Those are Rav Kook's words. So he explains, Hamatzav Azeh, this matzav, this state, this reality, Boy Oilamas Zorim Chaydrim Lo'emek Anefesh, but now, all kinds of strange and foreign worlds have this opening through the bite of the snake to enter deep into the soul. A man has found countless ways of substituting these foreign sounds for the sound of his neshama. I was talking about that a little bit when we were together. I think I spoke to you in the little Chabad shul in Venice. We were talking about Kol Hamayin Sharaimi. We were learning about that a little bit. The noise of Rome, the noise of Esav, the noise of the snake, that sound that's outside of you, as opposed to the Hakol Kol Yaakov of the parasha, of the voice of Yaakov, of the voice of the self. Instead, the sound of Rome, the noise of the multitudes of Rome, the Kol HaMoinish HaRoim, of Esav, and the Arba Meas Ish Imoy, and the 400 goons that he traveled with. But there are much more than 400. Why it's the number 400, that's not for now. That has to do with how Avraham Avinu bought Arba Meah Shekel Kesef, and that's a lot, but it's not for now. Arba Meah is the 400 kisufim of a person. But instead of listening to Hakol Kol Yaakov, to the voice of Yaakov, so Adam HaRishon listened to the snake. And you know the Chazal tells us that the Nachash is the Yetzahara, it's Esav, it's Malach HaMavis, it's all one thing. It's just a different comes in different levushim, but it's the same ace of the Malach HaMavis, the snake. It's all one mitzias. It's that mitzias that's not you. And therefore, Esav, we saw from the very beginning that Esav can look like he's Yaakov. Esav can appear to be a twin, can appear on the outside. He's a brother, and he can dress up like Yaakov, and he can look like Yaakov. And he could impersonate Yaakov and seems like Yaakov, but it's not Yaakov. And because of that and the world we live in, Yaakov had to dress up like Esav.
The arm of Esav.
He had to dress up like Esav. He had to make believe that he was Esav. The exchanged children in Rabbi Nachman's story. And this matzav of listening to the sound of the voice of Rome, of the snake, is a matzav of this akasha b'yoser. It's the most bitter slavery. It's the most bitter avdus. Your whole life you work for somebody else, not for yourself. Your whole life you're speaking for somebody else, not for yourself. Your whole life you're making... believe you're somebody else, it's not you. It's the biggest shibud that could be. It's the biggest enslavement imaginable. The whole tachlis of the one who is enslaving the slave is to cause the slave to forget himself. That's what the Germans in Machshon, that's all they were trying to do, was that a Jew should forget who he is. That was the whole... And all, throughout all of history, that's the Inyan of Avdus. To bring a proud, strong, intelligent human being to lose himself. All enslavement is that. All abuse is about that. All miserable marriages are about that. All situations of children whose parents are, instead of raising them, are enslaving them. It's all the same story. It's all the metzias of the snake, like Esav, wearing levushim. Could wear levushim of a teacher, of a parent, could wear levushim of a husband, of a wife. The snake knows how to be... So the snake has many, many disguises. But the tachlis is always the same tachlis. That you and I should not be able to answer that question of Ayeka. It's always the same tachlis. To lose oneself, whether it's in an institution, being in work, in a marriage, in a home, But the levush, it could be with smiles, it could be, the nachash knows how to wear a good smile, the nachash knows how to put on a nice show. The nachash is very clever and works very, very hard. And the tachlis is always that when you have those moments when Hashem is asking you and me that question, Ayeka, that we don't have an answer. And then we just try to make believe we didn't hear the question, like Adam and Chava running around in the garden, hiding. To make believe that we didn't, or to come up with something like, why, what do you mean? You know, something like that. Or some other silly, lame, you know, response to the question of Ayaka. You talking to me? No, whatever. She did it. It wasn't my idea. All the answers, but not the honest answer. Who matzav avdus? It's the hardest matzav of avdus. Hakashav Yosef. Baha Adam Klal Eni Yedea Shu Ever Lachayim. It's the worst of this. You don't even think of yourself as a slave anymore. You don't think that. You know that the voice of the snake, you identify as your own voice. That's the worst. You no longer hear it as a foreign voice that's trying to pull you away from yourself. It sounds like it's you. It sounds like that's what you really want. It sounds like that. It sounds like it's yourself. You can't distinguish anymore. Yitzchak Avinu heard in Yaakov's voice that it was really Yaakov. Something was up. But a person can come to a place, a point where he b'chlal doesn't hear any difference between the snake's voice and his own voice, and he thinks that the snake of the voice is himself. And a person can listen to some terrible song, that's empty of any elokus, or to watch some sort of a show, or to hear or to read some sort of a poem or something, and think that this is the deepest voice that's speaking within me. It's the snake. And the snake is laughing. Ah, I got this one. He thinks this is his inner voice, like, you know, Grateful Dead. That's his inner voice. Or screaming at some ball game or something. That's who I really am. My whole essence is that I'm a fan or something. And he thinks that's him. He thinks it's his own voice. He can't tell anymore the difference between the voice of Yaakov and the voice of Esav. The voice of the snake and the voice of the Nisham. He can't tell the difference anymore. That's the most horrible slavery. Kolzman, that the person knows that this is a Russia that's trying to be Meshabed me. That's why, you know, Jews have a sense of humor. Because humor and comedy is a fascinating way that a person tries to claim his voice as opposed to the outside voice. That's what humor is about. You can make fun of yourself. I'm talking about making fun of other people. But what humor is about is you're basically making jokes about marriage. What you're saying is that, I'm really a mess. I'm such a mess. You know, the jokes that I'm making is what my life has become. But there's something chashuv to humor in that way. It's very chashuv. Because when you're making a joke, see, you're pointing to a certain, what makes it funny is that there's something true, there's an akuda of truth to it, that's become blown up out of proportion and has taken over your life. And you're still able to laugh at it. It means there's still some sense of self. It's still outside of you and you can laugh at it. But if you find yourself like taking that seriously, in other words, if you actually become that joke and it's not a joke anymore, it's bad. It's really bad. It's not funny. That's not funny. That's not comedy. That's tragedy. That's tragedy. And that's what tragedy is on the stage. A misrepresentation of the human condition. That's all that Shakespeare and the rest of those people were about, and what tragedy and theater and drama and so on, what entertainment is all about. The voice of the snake, that you should forget your own voice. And you begin to identify with the character that's in the show. Kilo, that person is you. Back in the early 70s, every like 18-year-old guy in America was the Fonz. It was a show, Happy Days. It was very popular for a couple of years when we were growing up. And every, like, 18-year-old guy got his leather jacket, and he was the Fonz. No, but it was something you saw, like, when you spoke to people. Everybody was talking like Fonzie. I think he might be a Jewish Fonzie. Lepno, he's alive. I don't know what happened to him. But he had a Jewish name, I remember.
Henry Winkler
was his name. Yeah, so every teenage boy was like the Fonz. His hair, his look, his, like, you know, that nothing gets to me, I'm not afraid. It was the Fonz. And it was so obvious. It was crazy how silly it was. But all those Fonzies really took themselves seriously. That guy, Winkler, he was making a panosa. He's a smart guy. He wasn't taking it seriously. For him, it was comedy. I mean, he's a smart guy. That's how he made a living, by being the Fonz. But then you had, like, all the other little Fonzies all over the world.
It's the exact opposite, by the way. Now, there's a scene where he was on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
They couldn't get him on the motorcycle. He was so afraid.
Yeah.
He was exactly the opposite of his character.
I always wondered, when we were watching, I always wondered, like, who is he really, this guy? But I figured he must be, I don't know. There was something about him that had, you know, they made him like an Italian, but he was a Yid. There was something about him. He was Givaldic.
What did your father think of him?
My father never saw Happy Day. Never so happy.
Just the title of the show.
Huh?
Just the title of the show, Happy Days.
Yeah. It's also, the whole thing is all of the shows, all of that is playing into the demeanors of, and the voice of the snake, and you begin to morph into something else, into somebody else. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have appeared to any one of the hundreds of millions of Fonzies that were in the world at that time and say, Ayaka, you'd say, hey. You know? That's just a muscle of Shkaif. That's just a muscle of what happened to Gan Eden. It's played over and over and over again. And the people who do these things are brilliant people who know how to, mm-hmm. who know how to get to you. They're smart people. They're smart. They know how to get to you, and to bring you to a place to become mamish and evet. There's something that when you look back, you can't believe that you were meshubet to such a thing. You can't believe that you were acting in such a way that you lost yourself into something that was. Fiction. That was comedy. That was silly. That was an Irish kite, and you became that. You became that. Just the other day, my sister was reminding me. We were laughing about how, when we were little kids, so that time Superman was a very popular show, and my sister reminded me about how I would put a towel around my neck, and I got on top of the dresser.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my parents didn't see this, but she did, because I jumped on her on top of the dresser. She just reminded me that, and then I screamed out something like Superman, and I jumped from on top of the dresser, and I attacked her. I almost killed her, you know. I was Superman, you know. I'm the only thing I'm afraid of is kryptonite. That's the only thing that could hurt me is kryptonite. Not nothing else. I'm invincible. I got my towel. My pajamas, and I'm all the way up on top of the dresser, and my poor sister's passing by. I'm sorry. She's the villain. She's cruel. She's the Russian. I got her. That was it. And it's funny when we talk about stuff that we do as kids, but it's pathetic that we continue on with that when we're older. Just, you know, it's not Superman. It's somebody in the show, somebody at work, some different show, somebody else, some Mashabit, whatever. But she booed him. Ayaka. Mohadam klal any adesh ever lacher. You don't even you think that's you. You don't know that you're an ever lacher. Lo'ilm azarim, that your life is ilm azarim, foreign world, something different. It's not you. Sovu shehu ben chayrin. You think that you're ben chayrin. I always say that the animal in the zoo at least has some musig, like this is bad. You know, like, not that you ever see animals. I don't know, when I was taking my kids to the zoo when they were little, they were always like under construction, that particular place. All they had was like the birds. And I took the kids to see like giraffes and stuff. For some reason, they were always like in the cave. I don't know. But at least the animals in the zoo have some sort of a musig, like, oh, what happened to me? And they talk to each other. You see Nabuch, these lions, what they did to them. And the lions are looking at each other and say, Gedenkst, Yankel, label. You remember what it used to be like? Oh, in Altaheim. Oh, it was a Machai. In Altaheim, we used to run around. And, oh, we would find some behemoth. Oh, we had such a good time. Remember, it was so good over there. And then they're standing here behind bars, and you have kids coming to Chol Moed, throwing them peanuts. And the two lions looking, he says, what happened to us? What happened to us? But then you have another thing that's like a natural reserve. I was never at one. But you have these places that are like thousands and thousands of acres, and you have the lions are running around there, and it's all a dimion. There are fences surrounding the place, and whatever. There's barbed wire all around the place, not going anywhere. But the dimion is, they're in the Altaheim. We're in the Altaheim. It's the saddest, most pathetic thing. I never liked zoos. I hate zoos. I hated them from the time I was a little kid. I couldn't stand them. Not because I have such a compassion for, you know, like, you know, I eat fleishigs and stuff. Like that whole business. But the whole surah, it was something that troubled me from the time that I was little. And I never wanted to go. It just seemed to me to be such a cruel thing. It's unbearable to look at. The feeling that these are chayis that were just allowed to be themselves and then they're to entertain people. And how far is that from the stuff that was going on in the Colosseum in Rome? Mm-hmm. How different is that from what was going on there? She booed them. But when you at least know that Be'etzim you're Ben Chayrin and that there's some Meshabit, that you who you really are, and that there's some foreign God with a small G, some foreign God that has put you into a cage, but you know that this is not your place. You know this is not who you are. You know that you're just you were taken and you were captured and you're put into a cage. But what's going to be today? Erev Shabbos Parshas told us Tavshin Pe Gimel. How many shibudim are we part of, and how many impersonations, imitations are going to take place in this short little Erev Shabbos in our lives of not being who we really are and not listening to that voice and imagining that it is our voice, which is the most pathetic thing in the world, to think that you're in a natural reserve. The whole world is one big natural reserve. That's all it is. Outside of Gan Eden. It's one big natural reserve. So you think you're in Altaheim. They're Jews who think that they're Jews because they have a picture of, you know, a couple of Hasidim dancing on their wall. So it's like, they still have the thing from when they went to see Fiddler on the Roof in 1967 or something. From Broadway, you know, they're Satevia, so I'm a Jew. That's the identity of a Jew. It's all Rachmanis. It's a much bigger Rachmanis than an animal that's in a jail. It's a big rachmanis when a human being is in a jail and doesn't think he's in a jail, or a person's in a marriage but it's really a jail, or a person's in a house and it's really a jail, or a person's in a classroom and it's really a jail. It's a much bigger rachmanis. And you begin to identify yourself, Kilo, that's you. It's such a shiva. There's no shiva like that. That's what I've explained many times over the years. We spoke about this when Chazal tells us that no slave ever escaped Mitzrayim. What does that mean? They didn't have any walls. It wasn't a ghetto. Like, how come? Like, why is it that nobody ever escaped Mitzrayim? It's wide open space. How come nobody ever escaped? There was no barbed wire over there. How come nobody escaped? So the Izbitsa says, of course that's not the pshat. That they lost their identity as free people, and there's nowhere to go. This is who I am. I'm not going anywhere. That's a shibud. They were very good at it, the Mitzrayim. But they're not any better than Hollywood. Didn't we all grow up saying America's a free country, America's a free country? America's a free country, go wherever you like. It is. There's nobody mishabed us over here. We do whatever we like over here. So now what happened? People don't go to shul. Jews don't go to shul. Even people, some of them wear yarmulkes, they don't go to shul. Someone's stopping you from going to shul? Many of us come from families where they couldn't go to shul. If they went to shul, they'd get killed. Now you can go to shul. I was talking about that this morning. So Corona, what's going to be? We can't get the people to come to shul. They're not free to go to shul. No, so the voice of the snake. That's not your place. You're free to go. Nobody's bringing a Shabbos here. A person's meshubah to his phone. Who says that you have to be on your phone 4 hours a day? I davened last week. I never in my life saw such a thing, that there was a guy sitting next to me, and he came late, and he put his phone on top of his talisbat, and then he was already late for davening. He opened the siddur like this. And he took the phone. And then he put it down, you know, like this, for 10 seconds. So, of course, I said, maybe he's a doctor, maybe there's an Indian going on, an emergency. But there are other people doing that. Someone told him he has to pick up his phone, but there's some nachash that says, if you don't take the phone right now, you're in trouble. It's not an unbelievable shibud to listen to a voice outside of yourself. Instead of listening when you're davening, you're supposed to listen to the voice of your neshama. And even during davening, you're still with a snake. The snake. This thing is the snake, mamash. And we're slaves to the snake. And this thing is laughing at us all the time. And if we would hear how it mocks us and makes fun of us, how you thought you could put me down for half hour. And mamash is making fun of us. It has taken a world of good people and been mishabed them not to be able to hear themselves and to identify that with myself. Ad kedei kach, the people are inseparable from it. And if we didn't have Shabbos, and I was talking to a kid who told me that with his chever, they all are on the phone. And this is somebody that they're officially from. He was telling me that where he lives is they go on the elevator on Shabbos and they listen to the phone. Not Shabbos elevator. And it's nothing. Look at the kids nowadays. They can't put it down. And many adults either. They can't put it down. Is there somebody standing? There's a mitzvah standing over you? There's some mitzvah standing over you that tells you have to hold that thing all the time? There's some mitzvah that says you have to check your things every 10 minutes? There's a mitzvah. It's complete. It's a complete mockery that the snake is making of a tzelem elokim. But there's never been such a leitzonus of a human being as this inyan. It's a leitzonus of a human being. And you know that I'm not coming to this from making a whole thing against technology, that's not my mahalach. I'm talking about impnimius, not the whole business, technology. It's a mockery of the Tzelem Elokim that a person becomes completely under the control of voices outside of himself, of messages that are not your own thoughts or feelings, of people and that you don't even know, that come up on this thing and messages and voices and all kinds of things that are not shaykh to you. Of course, a person has business, and you do your business, and you take a time of the day, and you have set aside a time, and you get to, and you do your business, because it's a way that people do business now. They're like, we used to pick up a phone that had a wire, and you make your calls, and you read your mail. You read your mail. You listen, you make calls, and you read your mail. I'm not talking about that. That's regular business. In modern times, that's business. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this guy in shul. Up, down, up, down. Watch yourselves today. Watch how you are with that thing, with this thing. It's the most pathetic shibud, much, much sadder than Mitzrayim. And who's telling you can't go out of it? So anybody who asked the Kasha, why didn't anybody leave Mitzrayim? It's why? It's the desert. There are no fences, there are no walls. How come you didn't a couple of chevra? Make a run for it. You could make it to Eretz Yisrael. Leave. How come no one left? Jews are smart people. No one figured out how to get out of Mitzrayim. Where they had guards all over the place, all along the border. There were guards by the border. No, they didn't need any guards. Just like nobody needs a guard over here. There are no guards. They don't need any guards. TikTok and FaceTime and all these things, Facebook. They don't need any guards. These are trillion-dollar businesses without anybody being. They don't have to hire anybody to make you do it. You just meshubit. And they laugh all the time. They're making money off of all the avodim who hear this as their own voice and don't even know how to make a distinction between the snake and themselves. It's the snake mamash. In this levush of technology, it's the snake mamash. And a person has to at least, a kolopach, to remember that. Because remember, it's a madrega to know that you're meshubit. It's already a madrega to make jokes about it, to laugh about it. It's already a madrega. But to actually take this seriously, ki'ilu, this is what God meant when he created us, that we should spending our lives up and down, this and this and this, and going here and there, and then messages, and being social things, and network, and how many likes and dislikes, and constantly being bombarded with all kinds of clips and things of all, you know, whatever, some silly thing that happened somewhere, and then a billion people are watching this thing, it's not the snake. It's much more powerful than any snake that ever existed, and it doesn't not angry. It doesn't yell at you. It doesn't make films. It's not like a Hitler Yimach Shemai. But that's what we're talking about. Just finish this sentence. Very light. You think that you're making your own choices, that these are the choices that you're making. This is the choice that you're making. You see a Jew that's not dressed properly, whether it's a woman or it's a man or it's a woman that's dressed in a way that's terribly inappropriate, chas v'shalom, and she actually thinks that this was her choice. No, she thinks that she's listening to her inner voice that says that her body should be 80% uncovered. And she thinks that that's her inner voice. No. That's not the inner voice of one of the descendants of Sari Meina. It's just not. It's the snake. It's not the voice of Sari Meina. It's not the voice of who she is. She's convinced that this is my fashion statement. Of course, everybody else has the same fashion statement. But she's convinced that this is her. This is me. This speaks to me. This is how I want myself to be known to the world. It's a pathetic rachmanis. Beyond Rachmanis. That's who you are? Ayaka. What are you going like that? What are you dressing? What's the matter with you? What happened to you? Where's this sweet, innocent little girl? What are you doing? What are you going like that? What happened to you? Ramamish is chayev, but soyed el oishra henichsav. You think that this is going to bring you to happiness and to fulfillment and all that you're longing for. And of course, the reality is that it's mamish the opposite. It brings you to that expulsion from Gan Eden and to all the misery that comes with living outside of Gan Eden. And on that happy note, I wish I have a lechtigim Shabbos.